Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our Aiken City Council work session on today's date, whatever that is.
Six,
thank you. And we have one item, old master plan, the Northeast District that we want to discuss this evening. Mr. LaDuc, please.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, we're down to two districts now. Yay!
Yeah.
And before we get started today, council had asked for some clarification on what some of these land use categories were. So I asked the planning department to develop some criteria that they could talk about with you today, and I thought it would be good if we spent the first 5 to 10 minutes just making sure everybody understands what these land use categories mean in relationship to the actual zoning categories that we use, because there is a difference between the two. Ed got sick this afternoon, and so he has asked Sandra to step in and to give us a short discussion on this, and then we go to the Northeast District that hopefully we can complete today. It's not that big of an area.
Before I start, does everyone have their copy of their Northeast?
Yes.
Okay. If you could look at the memo attached to your packet, land use categories, Old Aiken Master Plan, when you think of comprehensive planning and the land use designations, think of them as goals. And when you think of zoning, think of them as your objectives. So your goal would be low-density residential, and your way of accomplishing it would be all those single-family residential zones. And that is what this memorandum lays out here. For instance, low-density residential detached, there's actually 4 or 5 different zones that could fit under that heading. And the blank that talks about a maximum density, for our discussion at this point, we could simply plug in 7.2, which is the most intense that we allow right now for single-family detached.
But that would allow you to have a single-family 6,000 square foot lot, 8,000 square foot lot, 10,000 square foot lot, 12,000 square foot lot, and 15,000 square foot lot. So when we say low density, the zoning category, as we see when we get annexations or other properties come in the city and we place a zone on them, we always talk about RS15 or RS12. Low-density residential detached is going to include all of those.
Correct. Yeah, that's absolutely correct. Under low-density, now, in the rest of the comprehensive plan, all we say is low-density residential. For all those other 13 planning districts that we have, it just says low-density residential. It doesn't distinguish what kind, whether it's attached or detached. It just is a density per acre. In Old Aiken, because it's a more specific area with such a history of development, the committees had decided they wanted to distinguish between attached and detached. So for this area, we'll have low-density residential detached, low-density residential attached. And if you want to look at an approximate density for that, it would be around 12 or 17 units per acre.
Sandra, could we go down these burger dots and talk about each one individually?
Yeah.
Well, the first one, for instance, I thought I heard you say 7.1 units per acre.
For discussion purposes, we could plug in 7.2.
That's the worst case scenario.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So how about the others as we go down here? How about the next one?
For low-density residential attached, again, for discussion purposes, I think that would be a range that would be between 12 and 17.
Okay.
Now, for single-family detached residential with horses, again, remember, this is a goal. We don't have a zone specifically for what this Southeast Subcommittee was intending. And for discussion purposes, we could look at 1 or 2 horses per acre because we do have a similar situation in place in the zoning ordinance already through a hearing process.
So 1 to 2, 2 max?
Right, right. It would be, you're familiar with this, it would be, you'd have to have 1 acre, mm-hmm. and you could have up to 2 horses.
Okay.
But it's one unit,
one horse. One single family house per acre.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, multifamily residential, we could look at 17.4 units per acre. Now, remember, we do have several zones that would plug into this. So we're talking about maximum densities at the moment.
What was that? How much was that?
17.4. Now, the
is that high or low? I'm sorry.
That's a maximum.
That's maximum, okay.
Worst case scenario.
Okay. And it can change. I mean, this is just for discussion purposes. It's really up to the council to decide what those limits should be. The remainder of the use categories, we're moving away from residential into office, commercial, and so on. And they're really just more descriptive at this point. We got rid of limited professional because it was the same title as the zoning category, and instead we're calling it small-scale office. In the future, the council may want to create another zone, you know, similar to limited professional that would fit into small-scale office. So that's why we don't use the same words.
I'm totally confused.
Okay, small-scale office, which comes after multifamily,
replaces limited professional.
Right, because you can have several zones that will meet the same goal. And in the future, perhaps the council wants to create another zone. We don't want to call it the same name as the zone, because that prevents you from being more creative in the future and looking at other things that might come up.
But we don't have that now. That's why when you start talking about the old Aiken master plan, this may be a wish list, because we don't have small-scale retail office zone now. Right.
But now,
okay, now I'm just talking small scale. I haven't gotten to the bottom of the page yet. I'm just going through it one
correct,
by one.
Ma'am. All right. Okay. Well, what confuses me is replaces limited professional. Zoning, we've got a limited professional district.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This is not what you're talking about when you say
right.
replaces limited professional.
Right. For the purpose of the comprehensive plan, we're going to call it small-scale office.
Mayor, I think where the problem lies is that
we
the
used
master
to
plan, they have made up these areas which don't necessarily correspond to current zoning. Is that correct?
Sometime in the future, if this is what council wants, instead of maybe having 12 zoning categories, we might have 25. And one of them would be small-scale office that gives you more ability to designate exactly what you want for an area instead of having a wire open category that you're trying to fit a bunch of things into.
Right, right. I understand the principle there. That's good.
And so all we're saying is to line up what is in this master plan instead of saying limited professional or limited business. Let's call this small scale office.
But now when the people discussed all of this in the areas, they didn't. Did they have that designation, small-scale office, when they made their recommendations?
They were not familiar with the zoning ordinance, and so when they called it, anything that they called it, the idea was what they were after, the concept.
Yeah, they're the ones that came up with it.
And you named it, and you gave it a name.
Right, right. Some of these are unique to Old Aiken, the small-scale office, the small-scale retail office. These are unique to Old Aiken. Some of the others, like office, you'll find that elsewhere in the comprehensive plan.
So what you're saying is that the Old Aiken master plan, which we're looking at, is a wish list of what the people say they would want, and these categories are a wish list which we may or may not want from a zoning category. In other words, this is what the people got together and said, we'd like to see this in our neighborhood. As a concept, and if in order, but we don't necessarily have a zone which is, we don't have a zone which is SSRO, but we may want to look at one in the future.
Absolutely.
But this was in the Northeast District, right, that this came up?
Actually, in the old Aiken Master Plan. Right?
It came up in the Northeast District. It came up in the East Committee District.
In the Northeast and the East Districts. Okay, because I hadn't heard about it in other meetings that I went to. That's why I was confused, too.
The only thing that I don't particularly like is when we say low-density residential attached, and it's 12 to 17 units. That's, to me, that's all. That seems like a conflict between low-density and high-density. It goes to the max of 17.4. I think we need to, in my mind, low-density is something less than 12 to 17 units. But I think that scares people. I don't think there's anything wrong with attached units in some of these areas, as long as it's owner-occupied. But when you start talking about 17 units an acre, that's a lot of units. That's a huge amount of units in a residential area attached. Now, it's not for Atlanta, but it is for Old Lake.
And these are apartments. These are not attached houses.
Well, they really don't distinguish on this.
But that was what we were talking about with that problem with that lot on Morgan Street, is there was the tree ordinance. And that's another thing. Tree ordinance doesn't apply to this then, right?
The tree ordinance does not apply to single-family zoning. And right now, you can have attached housing in a single-family zone. The example would be Morgan Street, or rather a limited professional zone. You can have single-family attached in a limited professional zone.
But the tree ordinance kicks in the limited professional zone.
But if it's developed as a single-family, then it's not.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
And because it's single-family attached,
yeah,
it's not. But I think that needs to be looked at again myself.
I do too.
So the comprehensive plan land use designations are just a general conceptual goal, and the zones are the vehicles to get to it, the specific ways of implementing it.
Back to that small-scale office, we didn't have a small-scale office. What did we have? What is currently in the limited professional district as far as offices are concerned?
You mean
what is it described as?
The design standards for limited professional are a footprint of 5,000 square feet.
We're talking office.
Yeah, for office. Parking in the back and a limitation on hours of operation.
Okay. So now, are we saying we're pulling that out of the existing LP and making it separate?
We're saying that the council wants to have these areas as small-scale office. And at the time, since you're not rezoning, at the time somebody wants to come in, the council would prefer that it to be rezoned into a zone that fits that general concept. At this point, we only have one, which is limited professional.
Okay, so it's in the limited professional now. Offices.
Yes.
Okay, so what we're doing is pulling it out of the limited professional, is that right, and making it separate. Is that right?
It's
own category.
It's you're talking apples and oranges here, okay?
Okay. Well, I don't want to hold up the discussion.
Problem,
here.
I think what they're saying is, for this area to be small office, and it could be limited professional, or it could be limited something else. If we want to let something else in there other than limited professional, but you're saying this is an area where we think we would want to put small offices, whatever those small offices might be.
Next year, decide you want to have a limited medical zone,
mm-hmm,
and that would fit under small-scale office. And then you might want to have a limited accountants-only zone or something like that. I mean, you could come up in the future with several zones that would fit under small-scale office.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I guess the word replaces bothers me. I don't understand.
And
when you say replaces
future,
limited professional.
This would be future, not now.
Yeah.
Well, what's puzzling is we have a description of the first four set of Bergadots. And I'm not so sure if we properly describe the small scale office in terms of what that would constitute to replace the limited professional. It says office is limited inside the structure, but it doesn't give any description based on per acre, whatever you described in the first four Bergenau.
And that's because that's what the zone will do. When you create a zoning category, that's what it will do. And let's go back to the first four bullets. For instance, low-density residential. I put in a maximum just to help you to visualize it, but we have four different residential zones that fall within that, and they each have different standards in size. So you don't want to get too specific, because that's what a zone is for.
Okay. Let me just clarify that. If we look at the Northwest District, which is primarily residential, if individuals come to City Council and they would like to have their property rezoned, which right now is mainly multifamily up in that area, they're in some areas, because the lots are very small, they might come in as an RS6 or an RS8. Other areas have larger lots, they might come in as an RS10 or 12. Most lots are not large enough, though, for an RS15. So depending on the lot size and where it's located in this area, we may have a different designation, but they're all low-density residential detached. But as they come in, they may have different designations. To answer your question, Mayor, right now the only thing we have available if somebody wanted to come in is limited professional. But in the future, you may want to come up with another category called small-scale retail or small-scale office or small. Or right now we don't have a category even for religious institution. We don't have one for a school, and so we may want to be creating these, and that's one of the things we'll talk about at the Horizons as to what zoning changes do we really need to be looking at in the near term to make things more specific as to what council and the citizens want.
So right now religious institutions fall under what?
Office.
I thought they could be almost anywhere.
They can actually be almost anywhere through a hearing process.
Uh-huh.
But for instance, we have several that are zoned single family.
Sure.
But schools are under office designation, and I mean it's there's not a category strictly for that.
Yeah. Remember, we got into a big discussion about that when Aiken Prep was thinking about moving out on the bypass. And in order to put the school there, you had to put it in this larger category. And we were saying, hey, it might be a school. We want a school there, but suppose something happens there. It could be zoned. It could be something else.
And I think it's zoned office right now.
Yeah, so something else could go there.
Which now, unfortunately, because it's office and they may not locate there, you're stuck with office instead of school.
Right, right. And
but
so that's.
I don't think it's doesn't spell for proper zoning if you have a church that's zoned office when it's actually religious.
Right.
It ought to be a religious type of zoning.
And that's what we need to be looking at a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's instead of having a small number of zones, you may wind up with two or three times more in the future. And there's positives and negatives, advantages and disadvantages in doing that.
It seems to me that we might want to do what we're doing tonight, which is look at changes in areas that have a lot of undeveloped land. I mean, when you've got areas that you can hardly find any space to buy in, maybe we aren't doing anything so wrong there. Whereas in the case, it seems, of this area where the people met and they thought there was a need for some other new designation in order to make, I presume, in order to make things start moving, get going, that's, to me, that's a different situation. Because there is a lot of empty space out here that could be developed.
Okay, do you want to discuss that anymore, or you want to go ahead and look at our map here and move on? Roger, where do you want to start?
Let's go ahead, and again, we have the larger drawing up here on the board, and so we're going to start at the, see if I get my thing here, where am I at?
Thank you, Sandra, for your presentation.
Upper left.
My thing is not working very good, my pointer.
Your laser?
Yeah.
You've been shooting too many airplanes over there, it's going out.
the battery's worn out here. I'm going to have to stop. I need a lawyer. If we could go to the upper left-hand corner, which right on your thing is industrial, this is probably the hardest one to look at. It's currently labeled industrial or light industrial. That's where the old county jail was at, the sheriff's office is at right now. And, of course, we're looking at trying to more properly designate that for, and we're calling this, which is not a zone currently, public and semi-public space. So again, there's another new category that we're trying to create here by that terminology. But I think you understand the principle of what we're trying to do here.
What's the long-range use of that for the county? What are they planning to do with it?
Well, the sheriff's office is there now.
I mean,
and my understanding is that the county likes being there, and the building needs further renovation going from a jail to a sheriff's office. But I have not heard where they're going to go ahead and tear down the building or do anything further with it.
Could we do anything as far as asking them to remove the
barbed wire?
The wires in the bags?
Yeah, I think we can.
With the 1 cent sales tax, wasn't there a big chunk of money in there for a new office complex? And was that part of the sheriff's?
The new office complex was actually for the whole county administration.
But did not include
location.
Did not include that.
Well, and again, they don't have all the detail of are they going to combine all these outlying locations into one building or not?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's very desirable for the public if they could go to one building and have all the offices in it versus having them scattered in Kilmia Plaza and the sheriff's office here and another location somewhere else.
But in there, there's a court in there. That's where they hold the court, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Mm-hmm. So, again, near term, they're not looking at closing it down.
Okay.
But what the citizens in this committee recommended, that would be some public or semi-public space.
Well, I noticed here, based on our plan, is that it says possible site for a medical clinic or a branch library, and I think that would enhance that area a lot more than what we have with the jail there in terms of long-running plan.
It still would be public and semi-public, though, so, I mean, what we're doing is saying that if that is a new zone, then that would be okay there.
Correct. We would be asking the jail and the bonding companies that are there for this new zoning.
Okay.
Everybody feel comfortable with that?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. The next big block there, which includes Perry Park and the Smith Hazel Complex and everything else, is listed for the future as, well, actually it's currently as RS-8. And so they're saying let's keep it all that way, make no changes, except there's one little spot, a little purple area.
Mm-hmm. Why is that?
That they have a small-scale office. Okay, the question is, why is that? And that's where the old grocery store was at. I think there's a couple of telephone booths
Karen's grocery
sitting there right now, and that's all there's there.
Well, it's a vacant lot, isn't it? Basically.
Didn't they potentially want to put something there, Beverly?
They were thinking about having a grocery store?
A couple years ago, we talked about that. And I think they were going to try to keep one of those buildings as it was, and maybe tear down one of the other buildings. I think there are two buildings, basically, on that lot. It's right at the corner I rode by.
There's
today.
No buildings there now.
It's a vacant lot.
It's a vacant lot, currently.
Well, Mr. Mayor, I'll do this for what it's worth, not to hamper the conversation.
Yeah.
But everybody has always asked me about spot zoning. That's it. Right there. That's spot zoning.
That's what I said.
Susan has a comment.
But I wanted to rehab one of the houses and operate some sort of home-based occupation out of that.
I recall something like that, yeah, when we talked about it.
Which a home-based occupation you could do, but they're listing this here as a small business.
Right, I know, but that's what I read. But I think that's nice. You haven't heard another word about that.
Well, somebody, I think you're trying to sell the house now, but you've got to move it away.
So the question that council has to answer is, the committee, through this one person, wanted to have that little...
From a land plan use standpoint, it makes no sense whatsoever.
Right.
And it doesn't. Do you think it does?
It would be difficult to defend in court.
I don't think that...
If you came to that, you probably never would, but it would be difficult to defend in court.
Well, it's already that way, right?
No.
It's already an RS-8.
RS-8. It's residential now.
So what you'd be saying, again, what you're asking us to do is to go back to all these people that were asking to have the zoning possibly changed. So we'd be going back to Heron saying, would you like this to be a small-scale office? Of course, they'd say, yes, we do. But is that what council wants? And what I'm hearing is no.
Right.
So let's keep it as RS-8. Up in the upper right-hand corner, no changes. Going down where it says RS-15, to the right-hand side, you have the candy stripe again. That's that small-scale office retail, which we used to call limited business, limited professional. So we try to reconfine that a little bit better. But again, that corridor along Buford Street is being suggested, instead of being RS-15, to be small-scale office retail. Right across the street is the industrial area of the Willow Run Business Park.
Beverly, you agree with that?
We're talking about this one area.
As long as you're not going to spot zone.
This one area here. And in reality, if we want to look at it, it'd be great if council could look all the way from Barnwell up to Hampton along Buford Street on the left-hand side. We're suggesting that the first 300 feet of that area would be zoned for small-scale office retail.
The only thing I don't understand, I mean, from the standpoint of you ride and look at the land, which that's the second block is right across from where the phone company is, right? If you actually look at that land, it's all an open field, and with a large, it seems to me like those ought to be the same. Whatever we decide, and especially the next block where it's got that, you go from residential on one side detached to office, if you actually ride by and look at it, all of it now is retail office type.
Or vacant.
Mm-hmm. To me, from a land plan standpoint, from across the street from the phone company and across the street from Jackson, most of that, those two blocks are currently used for small-scale office retail now, and I don't know whether we split land. That was my only question.
Yeah, now the opposite side, which is in purple, is listed as office. Office allows you to have a little larger building, more hours of operation. In other words, it's less restrictive. That's currently what's there now, is office space, which has a lot of state offices located. So they're saying, let's keep it office, even though it's zoned industrial, let's make it office. And then opposite side of the street, let's make it those smaller office or business space.
And I agree with that. You know, if I had my druthers, I have for 30 years been more Bell South with that wire fence around their building. It just does not do anything to that neighborhood at all. And but where the offices are on Buford Street, Beverly, where you all are, that whole area looks a lot pleasant as you travel on the bypass. Versus looking across where Bell South and that area is. It doesn't do anything to enhance the neighborhood at all. With that wire fence, and they do nothing to the building to add decor and appeal to the community at all.
So the question is, do you all agree with the recommendation, the candy stripe red and the purple along Buford Street?
Yes, I do.
Okay, everybody feels comfortable. Then as you go further to the west, we have some areas that are currently zoned GB and an area that's zoned industrial. And what the group's recommendation is that would go back to residential, single family. Not go back, but would be listed as desirable for residential in the future.
Is that the spot that the Bell South is in?
Bell South,
or is it the other?
Bell South is on the I across from there, is currently, well, that's a vacant lot. It's all, it's a big field.
Yeah.
It is.
It's all a big field. But if you look across from Jackson, those businesses go all the way through from Orangeburg to Buford. That's the part I understand. To me, it would make more sense to have the whole block small-scale office retail. You understand what I'm saying with frontage? Because look at you're splitting uses on same properties.
Now, are you talking about the block that's marked I now, industrial?
I'm talking about the property.
This area, right. See right
the
here.
Red and yellow?
Half the block is red and white, and half it's yellow.
Okay.
And I believe Pat's saying let's make it either all red and white.
If you go out there and look at the properties, now that's a big vacant field right now, so I guess it could work that you would have some residential on one. But to me, if you look at the next block over, you've got offices, small office retail there now. I mean, right where GB is, look at the GB.
You don't think with the proper buffer, you know, because if you look at where we're placing businesses in other areas with the proper buffer, you've got residential mixed in with small.
Well, the biggest, and I agree with you about the phone company. I'd like to see the phone company relocate and take and do something. But if you look at the amount of space between, that's a huge boulevard right through there with nice trees in the middle. The buffer can be that, and land use would. I'm just telling you, that's what's going to stay there because you got office retail there now, and they're not going to. The property that's sitting right here, he goes all the way through. You see where the line goes through?
You're talking about where Community Action Center's at?
Yeah, I mean, it's
right in that area there.
If a delineation of that road between retail and or small-scale office retail and changing the zoning for Bell South to residential, I could agree with. Now, they're not going to want to do that. But, and I know that Mr. Jackson's called me, and he certainly doesn't want his change to residential, so I think it's going to be a moot point. But the delineation between those two would make some sense from a land use standpoint, but I mean, I'm not wedded to it either way.
But I do think that it would be less of a problem if it were all the same color.
If you go ride down Orangeburg Street and you look at it, the stuff on the left hand going south, everything on the left, it seems to me like everything over there ought to be the same land use. Everything on the other side of the boulevard, Orangeburg, should be the same land use, whatever that is.
Okay, just to make
that would be a good area with part of that, a single family attached homes, nice attached home in that area. That
behind the businesses?
Quiet, with the right buffer?
The whole idea in your land zoning.
What you got there? You got on the back part of the Barnwell Avenue, facing Orangeburg, you've got the barbershop that backs up to that
Snazzy's.
Back part of you've got Snazzy's back there already, and it's.
Then you got.
I don't know what the zone is now. But
general business,
and then if you're going up the block from his shop, you've got the back part of Head Start and the back part of Community Action, and
which is all this one block right here.
Right. I don't see houses going in there. I really don't. Across the street.
Eventually, you could.
Eventually, I could see that.
You're talking about this block over here.
Yes.
So let's say we keep we make this one block here all red and white.
Yeah, because most of those places just go the depth of the block anyway.
If you go down that street, you'll see that it's all the same. The where it is split one block up, it's all an open field. There's a chance that could be developed with a tree line. And but until you do something,
you more or less could make all of that residential if you don't mind having it on Buford Street. But
well, I don't know whether.
It's so pretty and wooded and beautiful in there. You could put houses in there.
Well, that one there is nothing but an open field.
You're talking about this side here.
Oh, no, that's wooded.
No, go on up where the eye is.
That's where the Bell South.
That's Bell South. Mm-hmm. But across from there.
Okay, but across from there, it's all beautiful.
Right. And there's no problem. One of the whole ideas by having small-scale office or retail, it's limited hours, limited size. Therefore, you could have backed up to a small-scale office, retail, residential. and it's compatible. But like you said, this one block already is already set with businesses going from one Buford Street all the way to Orangeburg. This field here is virgin property.
It's but that's an open field.
We've got Target. We've got on the south side. We're developing apartments, nice apartments, close proximity. So why can't we use some of the similar examples in this area? As long as you have the proper buffer, you wouldn't want to use it open with folks there. I mean, why would you want to pollute the area with a lot of businesses and no people? When the whole idea is to where businesses, you want people surrounding business in a compatible way.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is that knowing what's there, if you see how the land is cut up, there are already businesses on that back end already.
That one block now.
Right. And the ones that are not on the back end, their property line go to the back end for either parking or other things associated with the offices that are up front. And what I'm saying is that the next block over, if you want to swap out, there's nothing wrong with having the businesses next to the houses, but put the houses in that other red stripe and yellow zone.
This one right here.
Yeah, put them all there and make all of that bottom one small offices. Just put the houses in the next.
Put the houses here, make this area here red and white.
I had heard one time that someone had bought that for some houses.
You talking about the vacant lot or the?
The vacant lot.
Next to Jackson? Jackson's right across from the GB right there. That's Jackson right there.
No, go on up. That part that fronts on
Buford?
On Buford.
Yeah, well, it's an open field. You can do
it's an open field. There's a for sale sign up there now.
You can put most anything you want to.
The trees are beautiful in there. I think it's a little low, but. You know,
Jackson owns that entire block Marlboro, just that little corner where the line is. The corner, Roger.
They own this piece right here.
The top part is Jackson. There's a vacant lot below that is a house.
I thought Jackson owned.
They have another lot too in there.
The blue house and the. Is it the blue house?
Jackson's on the top part. And there's a vacant lot to the right on Jackson. To the left, there's a house. Pretty nice looking, blue looking house. Yeah. Real pretty house.
Okay. What I think I'm hearing, Council, this area up here is fine. Keep that the way it is. This is fine. Keep it the way it is. This is fine. Keep it the way it is. Make this, though, all red and white, this one block. This one block here. Since it's compatible already that way. Otherwise, everything else would stay as recommended. Which means that Jackson, the Bell South, I'm sure they're not at this point in time want to change. But that doesn't mean in the future, as the climate changes, that they may revert that to residential. Again, that's the goal you have long term as to what you'd like to see in that area.
How did Jackson get into RML? It was done after the fact.
That building's been there a long time.
I think he was there.
He might have been there before rezoning.
Well, we moved in 74 and he was well established by that point in time.
He was there. We used to live next door to him in a little red house. That was in 19...
A long time ago.
We don't need to get...
Prior to zoning.
It couldn't have been that long ago.
In the 50s.
He's been there a long time.
He was there, essentially.
Before we even had zoning.
Yeah.
Does he know that he does not comply? I don't think he does.
Probably not.
Bill, let me ask, Bill, do you have any thoughts on this, what we're talking about? You're here as a citizen of the community there, and just wanted to give you a chance if you had anything you wanted to add to our discussion. Okay, good.
You're familiar with that area, right? Okay.
So the only change we're talking about making is in that one block from Orangeburg to Buford and from Edgefield down to Barnwell. So we'll just change that one block here. Otherwise, everybody else feels comfortable with everything else that we have in this area.
Mm-hmm. And again, you're saying that Bill South and Jackson move, that will...
It won't revert. It's just whoever buys in the future, we're going to ask that they would strongly consider residential.
And Bell South is that block with the eye in the middle of it.
That is correct.
Okay, thank you.
That was a nice piece of property in the 50s.
Yeah.
As we move further to the west along Barnwell Avenue, everything, as you can see, is zoned residential multifamily, low density. We are asking, though, that it comes back to council. In other words, we'll go to each one of these individual owners and say that council desires that this property would become single family. When you go ahead, and hopefully a number of them will come to us with that change. And so everything along Barnwell Avenue that's residential multifamily, we're going to ask that in the future be considered as single family detached.
Somewhere in all of this discussion, there was a very large discussion about Williamsburg Street.
Yeah, from the building supply?
From Richmond to Barnwell, you've got Parkway. From Barnwell to Hampton, there's no Parkway.
That's correct.
But if you look at the lots along Williamsburg Street and look at where the streetlights are, you know that the right-of-way goes clear halfway up those yards. And I bring that up because I remember in 1975, I believe it was, the city wanted to put sidewalks on Williamsburg Street going to the school. And, you know, at the time it was for safety issues because kids were walking to school. And do you know that those residents said no? They did not want the sidewalks because then the sidewalks were going to come through their yards, what they cut, not what they own. And so somewhere in this plan, there's a plan to put a parkway down Williamsburg Street. Am I right about that?
That's correct.
Is that something we're buying into? I mean, just...
Yeah. When we get into the plan itself,
okay,
then we have a number of objections as to what was recommended by the committee, and that's one of the recommendations that we look at a number of areas like Williamsburg that currently is a two-way street and make it into a parkway street. The council could say yes or no, or you could say as funding becomes available. Again, that's going to be a whole other discussion.
How would you do that?
Well, the right-of-way is there currently. It'd be taking, really, what you do is you would rip up all existing Williamsburg and take where Williamsburg is now and make it into a parkway and then put two one-way streets. You'd lose some trees in some locations.
People would lose yard that they think they own.
Part of what we have is Perry Park would become part of a street. I mean, there's pluses and minuses to it, but that's, again, something we'll have to decide later on when we get to that part of the plan.
Well, but I want you to write this down in your notebook because I keep forgetting. Williamsburg and Hampton Avenue is a very dangerous intersection. Cars coming off of Hampton Avenue, when they take the right, when they veer to the right, going out to the bypass, they don't realize that they, if they're just passing through, they don't realize that they've got to stop. Excuse me, you hear tires screeching. I mention that because I go to church.
People coming on Williamsburg?
I go to church that way on Sunday mornings. I have to go up Williamsburg Street. And I mean, just given the frequency that cars have, that I've had to stop for cars, we've had to stop for cars, because they were apparently not going to try to stop. It either needs a flashing light or something that says stop ahead.
And exactly where is that? Hampton, Williamsburg,
Where Hampton,
in Hampton?
Where Hampton goes out, goes east to Beaufort.
Beverly is talking right at this location here.
Right at Rosalie Johnson's.
Right at Rosalie Johnson's.
Yeah, right there.
Right there.
Right there, and you're going which way?
I'm coming up Williamsburg Street.
Up?
North?
And turning right?
South or north?
It doesn't matter.
It's the people coming down Hampton are not stopping.
Right. When they leave Hampton from.
Okay.
From.
Okay.
From
the jail.
From west,
that
going
is
east.
Dangerous.
Coming from the jail.
Coming from the jail.
Yeah.
Williamsburg Street doesn't have a stop sign there.
Yes. It does have a stop sign for Hampton.
Right.
It's a two-way stop. It's a two-way stop, though.
It's a two-way stop. And I just think the cars need to know that they're coming into major traffic, because all the cars that come off of Camellia or off of the bypass are turning on Williamsburg, basically.
We'll have our folks look at that and see what if anything we're done.
I keep forgetting, but it just happened Sunday, so I wanted to mention this somehow.
Okay.
If you're not paying attention, you could think that's just your rider would go straight through.
Yeah.
Rather than stopping at that stop sign.
Yeah, because you think of Hampton as
exactly
straight shot.
Right. It's been straight all the way, and now you've got to stop at it.
The rest of the property here in this district is, again, pretty well straightforward. Numerous single-family homes will always be single-family homes. We would hope that the majority of the citizens that live along Union and Kershaw and some of these other areas would, through our assistance, come back to City Council and petition to have their properties go from RML to single-family. And again, when we say single family, it could be single family RS6, RS8, RS10, 12, again, depending on the lot size. So again, the committee's recommendation was make that all single family from RML. We don't want apartments in that area.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Any other discussion on this particular area or district?
Nope.
Yep.
Can we set a meeting? We have one district left. We've saved the best for last. That's the Southeast District. Bob Meadows has been will be very interested in attending that meeting. And of course, that's where several of the light industrial is at, and the recommendation of the committee is to go with Force Residential. So there are some controversial areas in there. You want to do this later this month? You want to wait till February? Of course, in February, the first weekend, you will be together for a 24 to 48 hour period with the retreat. It's a matter of, do you want to do it this month or next month? Both of our other council members, by the way, if you had not heard, Dick Smith would have been here. He got ill this afternoon, couldn't be here. Don Sprawls would have been here, but he's at the former Kmart filling up oxygen bottles for the emergency. He's been there since 3:30 this morning, or else he would have been here. So it seems I'm saying that only because 5 o'clock on a Thursday may not be a bad time to gather, because all seven members were available.
You want to do it this month or next month?
Let's do it this month if everybody's in agreement. Keep moving on.
Is the 27th okay? I can't do it on the 20th.
I can't do it on the 27th, but that doesn't
I can
mean.
Do it on. I might be able to be here by 5 o'clock. I got a seminar in Columbia, but I'll be back. I'll be a little bit late, but I'll be here.
Well, Tuesday's not bad either, is it?
The only problem we have on Tuesday is BZA and Planning Commission, and there are some other
The 13th
meetings.
Or the 20th.
Planning Commission?
Planning Commission is on a Tuesday, the second Tuesday, yeah. And BZA is the fourth Tuesday.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yes.
Jane, Historic is the first Tuesday.
You okay with the 20th?
Okay. It's not a
Jane, you okay with the 20th?
But I mean, third Tuesday is available, just the other three Tuesdays.
20th? Pat, you said the
20th.
The Republican presidential event is in Washington.
Well, I'm not planning to go.
I'm going to.
Are you? I didn't know you. I was just.
Did you switch parties?
I'm sorry.
Is that your coming out?
Is that your coming out?
What do you mean? Are you really?
No, I thought you were laughing at me saying,
no.
Oh, the Republicans. You know, I thought you. And you're going.
We didn't realize this. Leslie,
sorry. I thought you. I'm sorry. I thought you were making a joke. You know, the Republicans.
Okay, what day?
Let's do it on the 20th. How about the 13th? Is that okay?
The 13th?
That's a planning commission meeting.
No. Thursday?
Oh, Thursday. No, the Thursday of the 13th. That'd be a week from today.
I can't do it.
She can't do it then.
Can't do it on the 13th.
That's my anniversary date. And
that's nice.
You can bring
good
a beer.
For you.
No, I have a meeting at the school already on the
13th. How about a Saturday night?
No.
The 18th, which is a Tuesday, is available. There's no planning meeting that night.
Did we say no to the 20th?
Yeah. Well, you're not going to be here. You're going to be partying.
You're going to be at the Republican whatever.
Okay, what would you say?
How about
18th?
18th.
How about the 18th?
Okay, 18th at 5 o'clock.
What day of the week is that?
That's a Tuesday. I know you want to be here, Beverly, when Bob Meadows is here.
I do want to be here.
So.
Yeah, he'll be disappointed.
5 o'clock on the 18th, and we will be looking at the Southeast District, which is the last one. Then after that, there are a number of these objectives and goals that we'll have to look at individually. All we're looking at really is one of the goals, which was, you know, this rezoning.
A bigger issue that we need to discuss sometime is what do we do with it? I mean that's going to be an issue with me. What do we do with this Old Lake and Master Plan, which we've got all this stuff going on? And
well, we've talked about going to each individual here where we've suggested change and seeing if they want to change.
First weekend in February.
And not doing it unless they do.
That's correct.
Yeah.
All right.
And there probably won't be many that want to change.
Well, I think there will in the residential areas.
There'll be some. I think
there'll be some, but I don't think there'll be a majority.
I think everybody in that area ought to want to get it changed.
I would think so.
The only problem is they're going to be skeptical.
Yeah.
There'll be some that might want to say, well, wait a minute, I may decide I want to put apartments in there someday and try to make some more money.
Rock, I could do apartments.
That's right.
Rock, this is a question. The I, which has got Bell South, and, you know, I agree with Leslie, it's just, you know, just looks awful. Looks like Beirut with the barbed wire on it. But if... could we use the green space money, which we put into 1 cent, to if we wanted some incentives, that we could use part of that and then go in there with the Aiken Housing Group and try to get houses built and use part of that 1 cent for green space to try to relocate them maybe over to the Aiken Corporation's industrial park? Would that be something we could try to do? If you think about it, I mean...
I don't think you'd use Greenway money, but if you want to use some of revitalization money, that would be more appropriate.
But what if you had the center portion as green space and a park?
I mean, if you wanted to buy part of that block and say it would stay as green space.
What about if you did the center portion as a park green space with town, with residentials ringing it? Could that? I'm just thinking. When I rode by it today, I thought, you know, something. It's too bad that we can't try to do something to relocate some of this if we're really serious about trying to change the way the neighborhood looks. I'm just a thought. I was there looking at it today, and I thought, God knows.
I don't know that Bell South has ever been told that what they're doing impacts the appearance of the community. And I think if they knew that, based on what they had there with that fence and they do nothing to add flowers or to the core of the building to make it appeal to the community, then they would make some changes.
Well, you know, maybe what we need to do when we say this is what we want our city to look like in 20 years, we sit down with Bell South and say, you know, why don't we sit down and see if there's something we can do?
I think that's the first step.
Yeah.
See if they can improve the property.
They got the money.
Maybe put up a wooden fence or something.
I did talk with someone from Bell South about that that building being there and the fencing around it.
I guess what I'm saying, Mr. Mayor, if we're serious about trying to change the look, if we're trying to change it to residential, we got to get them. We got to try to relocate them somehow. And I don't know.
Or there needs to be a buffer or something. So
that, and unfortunately, there's probably worse properties out there than that one.
Yeah, changing.
Yeah. But eventually, we want to change it.
But to be honest with you, Roger, if you, that would be an area that probably, if you look around the houses on the cross the street from it and the other side, it could go residential.
Oh, it could.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Okay.
That area
anything else?
A lot of appeal.
If not, we are adjourned.
You can't believe it.